Blog Talk Radio.
You just tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is Standing Firm on the Promises of God. We have an awesome, fantabulous, dynamic show on tonight. I have two wonderful men that are calling in, and I am very excited to have them both on and really appreciative that they're going to be calling in tonight. Tonight's topic is with every being of my soul, I, and then you just fill that blank in, thinking about what it is with every being of your soul. What is it that, how would you finish this sentence? You know, we're coming up on the end of the year. We had a lot of goals on this year, things we're trying to accomplish. You know, we got back in step, you know, from dealing with all of the COVID shutdowns and things of that nature. So what is it that you're looking for and looking to do on this new horizon that is approaching us in the new year? This is going to be season 13 coming soon for this radio show, Talk to Me. And for myself, with every being of my soul, I want to be whole spiritually. With every being of my soul, I want to accomplish everything that God has placed inside of me to do. I want to accomplish everything. I want to make a movie of my life before I leave this earth. So I have a lot of with every being of my soul's statements that I could finish. Tune in. Make sure you tell someone else to tune in. Forward this link. I thank you for listening in and being supportive of this particular broadcast. And tell somebody about it before our callers call in. In any case, I just want to give a little bit of background on the show in case you've never heard this show and never listened to it before at any point in time in the past 12 years. Well, we have over 400 guests over 200 episodes, well over 10,000 in listenership, reaching the U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, Malaysia, and Japan. So that is an accomplishment all in itself. There's nothing I could say. One thing I try to do is be consistent, and I am committed to doing this broadcast. So in any case, I do need to get into some of the announcements because this is a long birthday list. So if you're born in October, maybe you will be on this list. I do want to say happy birthday to my little sister, First Lady Tasha Williams, down in North Carolina, who celebrated her birthday on the 8th. Michael Ado Agyakwa, the 2nd. Mac Allen, Kendra Simmons, my auntie Meredith Goldstone. God bless you. I hope you know, this new chapter is going to be filled with joy, healing, love, and everything else that your heart desires. H.W. Silky, Kevin Humphrey, Patricia Bowen, Lorraine Williams, Crystal Perry Holden, who's my former director and the owner of the Perry Players, which I got my start acting with, and was in like mad plays with her. I learned so much from that woman. Gina Blaze, Terry Stewart, Robin Reason, Charles Council, Joyce Cables Newton, John Bam Mitchell, Stacy Jordan Reeser, Sheila Taylor McCoy, a friend of mine. You've heard her on this show before singing. Tony Scott, my cousin, Pamela Moore, Bobby Humphrey, my cousin, Anthony Holder, Willie Gopie, Gerard Wright, Crystal Wright, they're both cousins. Key Lindsley, Linda Humphrey, my cousin Humphrey Bogart was just on recently. That is his mother. Karen Graves Medley, D. Lucas, and Charisma Simmons. And anyone that I may have missed in this month, I just, ask you to please forgive me. I can't mention everyone's name, but I know Humphrey Bogart had a birthday recently. My niece, Ajanae, I call her Bubbles, Ajanae Young, she had a birthday as well. So shout outs to everyone. Also, condolences go out to Wonder Boy Johnson, very, very prominent in the gospel arena. I met him one time at a church function in New York, and got to hear him play. And also Coolio, I believe, has passed away. So I want to send condolences to everyone, their family and their friends. My heart goes out to you. On a lighter note, donations, if you find it on your heart to bless me, in giving a donation to the show, or you could book me as an MC, a spoken word artist, a comedian, a consultant. I do consultant work on books and businesses. I do have a degree in business administration along with many other degrees. So if you want, some assistance in that area, you can hire me for that. Also, you can buy my art. I have over 30 pieces that are up on my website, www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org. You can go to the page with the art. Also, you can order my books. Most of them are children's books, and they are relevant and very needed. They don't just talk about, silly things. They're talking about real-life issues children overcome and to understand and comprehend on their level. Also, you can book your interview, which starts at $40 for 15 minutes for an individual, for businesses and celebrities, starts at $150 and up. I do play MP3s. MP3s are $50 a piece. if you want your MP3 played. Now, I need to get into some scriptures so I could do that before my first caller calls in. We're talking about desire, the desires of our heart. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Proverbs 10:24 says, what the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and find me, and you, when you seek me with all your heart. And so that's talking about seeking the Lord. So let me move on from there. I got a couple more scriptures to read. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 40:31. If you've ever felt weary, if you've ever felt faint, if you've ever felt like you just can't go on, sometimes it gets to be that way for some of us, not all of us. But I've been in that situation many times and I've over my lifetime for different reasons. And that's a scripture that I go back to just to remind myself, you know. And so if you're dealing with that, you can meditate on that scripture as well. And I am going to go to a quick musical break and waiting for my caller. I'm going to play about a minute of this. This is Life Jennings, Must Be Nice, throwback.
What's your number? Where are you from?
268-192, Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah. Nice guitar. What are you going to do now that you're out?
I'm going to do the Apollo in New York.
You'll be back.
Yo, you would have just flipped on this CD player. I just want to inform you that you got somebody good, you hold on to them.
You could give this place 10 years of your life. I don't want to ever see me again. And don't you even look back.
Yeah, must be nice. That is someone who understands the life you live. Must be nice. Having someone who's slow to take and quick to give. Must be nice. Having someone who sticks around when the rough times get thick. Someone whose smile is bright enough to make projects feel like a machine. Having someone who loves you despite your faults. Must be nice. Having someone who talks the talk but also walks the walk. Must be nice. Having someone who understands that a fuck has feelings too. Someone who loves you for sure. You just remember to never let them go.
There you have it. That was Life Jennings, Must Be Nice. That used to be one of my favorite cuts back in, like, I don't know, 2005. But you are listening to Talk To Me Radio. This is Cherie Humphrey of Diamonds in the Rough. I do have my caller that is called in, so I'm going to click him in right now. Hello?
I'm muted. What up, boo?
Hey, how you doing, Marlon? How are you?
I'm doing good. You was about to call me Denzel Washington. I heard it.
So silly. Everyone, this is Marlon Randolph comedian extraordinaire. He is just the funniest, one of the funniest comedians I have met on this year. And you blew me away when you came to the metric. Yeah, you did.
I heard in your voice when you answered, you like, hello? You sound like you ain't my Guinness, man. That sound. Listen to that laugh, bro. That is a laugh of cigarettes, blunt, cigars, hookah. You sound like my grandma used to laugh. She used to beat our ass and back at me. Hello?
Oh my goodness. Yes, I do smoke cigars. So you already met me at the metric. Stop playing.
I didn't know what you were smoking. I saw something big and black in your hand. I'm like, is this a foreign place? What's going on? Is this metric grill or is it the like metric as in homometric? So what are both of them?
Not much. What you been up to? I just had to get you on the show. You was about to try to make me run, but I couldn't do it. So I said, you know what? I ran in my mind and I didn't catch you. But so in any case, how long you been doing comedy?
I've been doing comedy for a long time. I've always been infatuated with stand-up comedy, since Def Jam, BET, Comedy View, all that. But I was also one of them kind of comics that, you know, always held on to my job when I was in Detroit. So then I moved to New York. I took it on full time. And I'm just in a place, like, where, you know, I would do comedy clubs and do shows, and I just... It's about comfortability for me. So I like doing places, you know, basically where people can connect to you. And as long as they can connect to you, I love those kind of clubs. A lot of clubs don't have that connection because a lot of those clubs, they try to take comedy and it becomes like everything else where it's about money and capitalism. And, you know, I'm kicking it with you, honey, even in the Metric Grill, but if we got some people from the suburbs of Connecticut, you start talking about old-fashioned grits. They don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So then I gotta cater. Then I gotta cater my jokes to their lifestyle. Probably why you probably never heard of me, because I'm content with doing what I do. You understand? So it's some cats is all about being Chris Tucker, but even Chris Tucker not Chris Tucker right now. You know.
Right.
You know. So you know, it's all overnight success, man. And you know what? And to be honest with you, the way people, man, get murdered and killed and the radar is on them, I like being under the radar. Because the more you're on the internet, the more you're making somebody jealous. Fuck all that.
That's the truth. And they don't know what you've been going through to even get a little bit of success. Because there's always something that you have to go through, something that you have to learn and grow from in order to get to the next level anyway. So, you know, I try my best to just, you know, do me, be me as much as possible and not worry about who's doing what on the internet. I really don't care. Because sometimes it's just false anyway. It's just lies. You know.
Let's talk about how you got the name Humphrey. Who named you that? Your mama or you used to back
in the 80s? I got it from my daddy.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Do the Humphrey.
Yes, but,
yeah, do the Humphrey.
Yeah, but look, Marlon, I tried to examine my name back in the day when I was young, and I said, you know what? It must have been a slave that said, I'm free, and they just took it and ran with it. I don't know. That's what came to my mind.
Man, I'm not laughing at that. No. You know you're wrong for that.
But this is what I was thinking, you know, because I'm like, how other way, you know, can you get this name? You know, I used to get picked on because of this daggone last name, you know.
Your name is good. I'm just fucking with you. Your name is good. It goes with your whole look. your red hat. You look like you pimping all kind of bitches in the Matrix grill. I saw you with the young girl. I said, yeah, she got her working on the corner. And then, even though he was
stupid. Disregard that last comment, everybody. No, I love my hats. I get it from my mother. My mother loved hats. I love hats. I get that from her. It's unfortunate that we both have a cane and I'm much younger than her, but it is what it is.
So your mother's a Southern Belle. That's why she likes hats. Cause that's from the South. That's what the ladies do. They go get them big hats. Southern Belles always wear them church hats. My grandma used to go to JCPenney's and collect them. But then when she dies,
absolutely. Yep, that's true. She's from Virginia, so yep. Yeah.
I like Virginia. Virginia one of my favorite states because it sounds like vagina. They should just rename the state to vagina. Virginia. Virginia is my favorite state. Virginia sounds like vagina, so they should just rename it the state of vagina. And watch all the men move there. They're like, they're like, where you going? Man, I'm about to move to vagina.
Oh, God. I told y'all was in for a treat because this guy is a fool. Look, when you came to the metric, I thought I was coughing up a lung because you did something that was very unique, and I love music. You was putting musical lyrics like to the jokes that you were doing, and it was ridiculous. And I'm like, this is really creative right here, you know? Where did you get that from? Was that something
I appreciate that. Well, so I love music, number one. And number two, I love music. So when you love something like that, man, you're always in tune. So I just look at people sometimes, and they just got that look. Like when I was messing with my man, he looked like Samuel Jackson. When I was messing with the DJ and his lonely wife in the DJ booth. When I was messing with you, you were like Climax, meetings in the lady room. You was messing with the civil rights section on the left-hand side. You were messing with everybody. Even the owner of Matrix, Suge Knight with the sandals on. He had the Egyptian toes hanging in front of sandals.
That was Pierre. And you talking about DJ Wanku. That's not his wife. That's his friend, Kim.
She looked like she don't ever let him go outside. He probably told her he was going to play the lottery. And she said, well, I'm getting ready. Why are you taking your DJ equipment to play a 3-digit? I'm going with you. Make some room in the car.
Okay.
Oh, my God. She was tearing that food up right behind me. And then you had to...
I couldn't see. I was too short.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. So did you ever get like professional, training for the comedy, or was just something that was innate that just grew?
You know, that's a great question. You know, what's funny is that, you know, a lot of guys who jump into comedy, it's one or two reasons. First of all, we see a lot of young black boys, they get inspired when you see, you know, a lot of guys who were inspired by Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't thinking about stand-up in 87, and I definitely wasn't thinking about it in the 70s. But when I saw Martin Lawrence, I was like, yo, like he was so silly. Like Martin Lawrence was mad silly. But because I'm a prolific guy, like I love to like preach a little bit, Chris Rock kind of changed my life because watching Bigger and Blacker and Bring the Pain, I was like, yo, I want to do that because at least I don't look like a clown while I'm telling jokes. But it's so tricky, yo. It's so tricky because, you know, people just want to laugh. They don't really want you to come preaching to them, and you can get caught into trying to be scientific about it and clinical about it, but really, you got to sell yourself. So to answer your question with two sentences, yes, I did take a class, but that class did not teach me what I do. That class was something I took because I wanted it so bad, so I thought taking a class was going to get me ahead of the game faster. But the only thing that's going to get you ahead of the game faster, the only thing that's going to get you ahead of the game is repetition. And you just got to keep going on stage until that person who's funny at home starts to show up on stage. That's all the fuck it is. And
that's right.
Yeah.
Yes, it do. Yes, it do, because I'm funny as I don't know what when I'm with my friends. You know, I try to keep people in stitches, but it's a whole different thing.
Oh, no, you funny. Huh? You walk past. You funny. You walk past me. I'm cracking up like a motherfucker. I was walking. I was thinking of theme music. You walk past me, I heard theme music. You had the cane and the sunglasses. All I heard was,
I'm your mama, I'm your daddy, I'm your nephew, I'm your daddy, if you need.
Yes!
Oh my goodness.
If you need me, I can make it. I like white, I like red, I like brown in the bed. When I'm late, I like to grab my chain. My name is Humphrey.
I can't. Oh my God, Marley, please stop. I ain't going to be able to ask one question. I like broccoli in the bed. Oh, my God. Look, you know, back in the 2000s, when the 2000s came, it was like I had this fetish with canes. I was collecting them every vacation, and I didn't need it then. I just wanted it for style. Now I need it. That's the joke.
I used to do that too. When Damon Hall from Guy used to walk around with a cane, I thought that used to be some smooth shit. But
right.
So why do you use a cane? Is it because you got a big penis?
I have an L4, L5 disc issue that has progressed. See, they say it's degenerative, but I'm trusting God that is not the case. So I have good days, you know. Bad days, you know.
Is it bulging? Is the L4 and L5 a bulging disc? Is it bulging?
Not that I know of. I don't see anything, but I know they never told me it was bulging. But I don't even know where it came from. I mean, I know that in my 20s I did too much, you know, like lifting stuff, helping people. I was in 2 truck accidents. You know, there's a lot of things that transpired, you know, that put a lot of strain on my back, and I started noticing it around 2015. And I started falling in 2016. So, you know, I keep it, you know, just to help me to walk, you know, if I need to walk, if I need to, you know, if my body's tired, that's when I need it the most. So I get my rest so I can come out and enjoy myself, you know, because I can't do what I used to do back in the day when I was doing spoken word acting. I was all over the place, you know, singing the McDonald's Gospel Fest and 3 other choirs. I mean, I was just on the go. And this is maybe a way for God to tell me to slow down. You know, my health was going. I was helping a lot of other people, and I was letting myself, you know, I wasn't doing what I needed to do for me. So it's a wake-up call, but the interview is not about me. It is about you.
You sound like you need therapy.
I've been through 2 physical therapies.
Not that kind of therapy, but the kind of therapy like you sound like you're on Oprah show. You start talking and I'm over here like Dr. Phil. You're like, yeah, so back in 1962, I ate a candy bar. And my big toe came out, so I was playing with a cane, but now I'm gotta use a cane. This ain't Ayana fix my life. She can't fix your shit this time.
Okay, Marlon, question. If you have to fill in the blank with every being of your soul, what would you fill it in with?
Say the whole thing, and then with the blank, say blank.
Okay. With every being of my soul, I blank.
With every being of my soul, I wish I could go back to a young me and tell me, don't have no goddamn kids, but I know hood rats. And every being in my soul, I wish I wasn't teasing this woman on stage last year, because now my back ain't been right ever since. I'm a tad ass up. She was wearing lemon. She was wearing like a lemon full dress. I said, this bitch, the 10 man that walked in this bitch, if don't walk past the microwave, you might blow this whole fucking building up. I wish I could take
that.
Oh,
my goodness.
My back been killing. Yeah, my back been killing me ever since I was putting it in. Like, the people were
dying. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
With every being in my soul, I wish my ass would have, when I moved to the New York, stayed focused and never had got distracted. That's an interesting question, though, you know, because it's like, now I feel like I'm on the Oprah show. Now I feel like I'm the one who started telling all my goddamn problems with that goddamn show. Maybe that's the setup.
Well, I've been told by Jackson that I tend to do that and pull out some things from, you know, some guests that they might not thought they was going to release. Yes, but in any case,
that whole sentence sounded nasty. I was told by Jackson to pull out because with other comics, they tend to release. I don't know what the fuck is going on right now. Pull out and release? No, go ahead with the question.
Yes, exactly. But you know, I it's not just with the comedians, because I've interviewed a lot of radio. I've interviewed some celebrities, recording artists. I've interviewed some aspiring artists and people from all walks of life. So, you know, sometimes people want to tell their story and what they've been going through or what they've overcome, because they don't really get an opportunity to be on stage or to have a voice, you know, unlike you and, you know, the next guest is coming back on. You guys are always in the public eye. And, you know, how does that get? I mean, do you ever feel like, you know, I need a break, you know, just to woosah and get some personal time from, you know, having to be on the stage a lot?
So every comic is different, right? There is no one process that two comics are using. For me personally, I love comedy, but I don't love it where I would do it every night. And the reason why is, you saw from my performance, there was a lot of improv. And the reason it was improv is because I was happy and I was in a good mood. Therefore, I was able to extract that energy into the audience. You can't be on all the time to extract good energy like that. So in order for me to extract good energy, I need to be well rested. I need to miss the stage a little bit. So some guys, they like to go up, you know, 6-7 nights a week. You know, I'm good with 3. You know, I like to space a couple of days and go and absorb human energy, absorb what's new and new. And then I get to this point in my life, like, after a day or two go by, where I feel like venting, I feel like talking. And when I get like that, that means I need a microphone. Like, right now, I haven't performed since. I performed, I did a show the night before. So, like, now it's on this second day, so I'm, like, talking. This is the time, like, tonight or tomorrow, I would, like, really be able to take off on stage. Because, I've got rest, and I would absorb energy, and your energy is good. So you're very contagious with your laughter. So you actually encourage a comic to, you know, to stay on stage forever with that kind of laughter. All the girls you sit on the corner to make that money for you. I saw you, Pam. I saw you.
Yes, I love comedy. I mean, ever since I can remember, I've been performing since. I mean, 5 years old singing and then doing little shows in the house, trying to make my grandparents laugh, you know, and family. I was just that kind of kid, you know, that grandma was getting ready to sit down and I pulled the chair from under her so she could bust her tail. That was me. You know, so I always had jokes, you know. But, you know, as like I said, it's got to be in you already. And I think that I get that portion from my mother, definitely, because she loved she loves the stage, I think, more than me. but I do see that my second caller has called in, and I don't want to infringe upon his time because I have to, you know, go to a quick break and read his bio as well. But Marlon, yes, I thank you so much, and please come back, you know, on the show again next year, okay?
Yeah, anytime, man. I appreciate it. To all your people, make sure y'all follow me on Instagram. That's MARLON. Randolph is RANN as in Nancy, DOLPH, Marlon Randolph. Holla at your boy. I appreciate you, Humphrey, for having me on. My dude, Howie, you got two Detroit. We should have had this on together. That's my, we started around the same time. That's my Detroit dog. We both from Detroit. So
yes.
Yeah, good friend of mine. So maybe next time you have us both on, and man, you won't be able to breathe in. That'll be a wrap. Straight ass, man.
Yes, okay.
I appreciate you for having me on. Tell them what's up, all right?
Okay, thank you so much. Have a good night.
You too, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. There you have it. That was Marlon Randolph, comedian. I'm telling you, you go see him. He'll have you busting at the seams, literally. But in any case, I have to go to a quick break real quick, and I am going to play a little bit of Just Us by Frankie Beverly and Maze. We're gonna find a reason. That is Frankie Beverly and Maze, Just Us. I love that song. It is just so smooth. That anyway, this is Talk to Me Radio, and I am Cherie Humphrey. And I wanted to just thank Marlon for coming on once again. I have a returning guest. Now, this man has played a very special part in my heart because I met him at Cool Mike Ski's comedy show up in New Haven, and it was my birthday. And a few of my friends and people I know, acquaintances, you know, were celebrating with me. And my DJ that I would use for the Star of Born Talent events, he, you know, bought me a cake, and they were going to cancel, and then both of them agreed not to do it because it was my birthday, and Howie Bell agreed to stay and still do his set, and he took up for me. This man has just played a very special part in my heart, so I asked him when I saw him again, after so many years, if he would please call back in again. And so he said yes, he agreed to do that. So I'm going to read his bio right now. Howie Bell is an 18-year stand-up comedian and actor, born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. From the start, Bell has taken the comedy game to the next level. He's appeared on several stand-up specials, such as Comedy After Dark, Six Seasons of Comic View, including the most recent edition, One Mic Stand, hosted by Kevin Hart, Jamie Foxx's Laugh-a-Palooza, two seasons of P. Diddy's Presents the Bad Boys of Comedy, Byron Allen's Comics Unleashed, and two seasons of Black Men Revealed. And these are from all on BET, some are on Comedy Central, HBO, TV One, Comedy Central, you know. In 2007, Bell was nominated for Best Comedic Performance by the NAMIC Awards for his performance on Robert Townsend Presents Partners in Crime, The Next Generation. Howie Bell has also enjoyed road success as well, performing on the National Bad Boys of Comedy Tour, Laugh-a-Palooza Festivals in Atlanta, Georgia, Jamie Foxx's Y2K and Unpredictable Tours, as well as the Improv Funny Bone, The Last Factor, The Comedy Store, and comedy clubs across the country. Bell has also opened up for several A-list comics such as Jamie Foxx, Cat Williams, Brandon T. Jackson, Ricky Smiley, Joe Torre, and Earthquake, to name a few. Howie Bell has also had the opportunity to be a part of some film projects such as Busted, Holly Won't, Gangsta Rap, the Glockumentary, okay, I hope I said that right, Once Upon a Time in Detroit, Heaven on Seven, and the recent critically acclaimed film, Detroit Unleaded. Howie Bell has also been in the writing arena as well, creatively contributing to the sketches that landed his improv sketch group, The Otha Level, a spot at the Bumper Shoot Festival in Seattle, Washington, and a slot at the HBO Aspen Comedy Festival in 2000, as well as a personal writer for P. Diddy when he hosted the MTV VMAs in 2005, where one of Bell's sketches made the cut. Howie Bell also heads the HBZ premier comedy agency that books live stand-up comedy events nationwide, most notably the Latino Laugh Blast, featuring Joey Medina and Alex Raimondo, two of the Latin kings of comedy, and Super Comedy Week, a week-long comedy festival in Detroit that was an official event of the Super Bowl's host committee for Super Bowl XL in Detroit. Howie has other talents, including dancing, fraternity step, and I want to see what fraternity he's from, singing and writing. So I'm going to be asking him right now. Let me click him in. Hello?
That was amazing. That was, hey, look, let me tell you something. Shereen, look at you. You did an amazing job with that one. I was like, hey, that was awesome. You talking
Thank
about a cold read. I mean, that was a cold read, baby.
Yeah, that's. Yes, it was, because, you know,
I got, hey, look, I got,
you know,
I got to fire my publicist, though, because I've been doing comedy for 27 years. I started doing comedy in 1995.
Okay.
So that 18 years, they cut me short.
Yeah, and this could be an old bio that they have up for you still.
Yeah, it could be. I got to make some phone calls.
Yes, for real though.
In the name of the sketch
that's a
group,
long time.
In the name of the sketch group, it's called The Other Level.
Okay.
The Other Level.
Okay.
Yep, The Other
the
Level.
Other level.
That was me. Yep, that was me, Joe Blunt, Spanky Hayes, and Thomas Ward. And we moved to L.A. from Detroit. And I know I'm jumping ahead, Sheree, because I don't know. But we moved to L.A. from Detroit, and we had a development deal with Overbrook Entertainment, which is Will Smith's company. So we had a development deal. Yep, we had a development deal with him, and that was in 2000.
Okay.
Just to give
you congratulations. So what up,
sis?
Everything's good. I'm so glad that, you know, I saw you again and you know, you agreed to come on because it has been, you know, many years. And when you came out, I didn't even know who you was. I'm sitting there laughing and hollering. And then I say to my agent, and so then she said, Howie. I said, Howie who? Howie Bell? So she said, yeah, Sheree. I said, oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, yes. I love you so much. We go back a long way, man.
Yes, long absolutely. Way. Yes, and, you know, I've seen a few of the things that you've done that were aired on TV, you know, back then. And like I said, you always have a special part in my heart because you were so genuine. And we talked in the past on the phone for a while about different endeavors that you were taking and stuff like that. So congratulations once again. Yes.
Well, I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to say this.
Uh-huh.
You know, Sheree, I'm still alive. I'm still doing it. I'll be 50 years old October 30th. And I've been doing comedy for 27 of those 50 years. And I'll tell you this. I am so happy with my life. And I tell anybody anytime, man, whenever you can pay the bills, telling these jokes, you won. I tell comedians all the time, don't try to be a superstar. That's not what you – don't try to be that. If it happens, so be it.
Right.
But try to be a working artist.
Yeah.
You feel me? Be a working artist.
Absolutely. I feel you all the way.
Yeah. Dude, enjoy your life and enjoy your craft.
Yeah,
because everybody's not gonna be Kevin Hart. Everybody's not gonna be Deion Cole. Everybody's not gonna be, you know what I'm saying, D-Ray Davis. Everybody's not gonna be Lil Rel. Everybody's not gonna be, you know, it's just not. Everybody's not gonna be Cat Williams. It's just not gonna be.
Right.
So what you have to do? Everybody's not gonna be Dave Chappelle. Everybody's not gonna be Earthquake. Everybody's not gonna be, you know, these are special people I'm naming. You know, and
Mike Epps, LeVon.
Everybody not gonna be Mike Epps. Everybody may be LeVon. Lavelle Crawford. Everybody may be
Lavelle. Yeah.
Nobody's gonna. Everybody is unique within themselves. And so what you got to do is, and I'm just speaking from a stand-up comedy perspective here, my love. You, all the young comedians listening out right now, because this ain't for the old ones, because the old ones don't care. But my young comedians, go up, work on your shit, become funny, and everything else is going to follow. Trust me when I tell you. Just work on your shit, man. Just work on, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cuss. I don't know if we can't cuss. But
I understand.
Work on you.
Notice I didn't say yes or no.
Right.
I said, I understand.
Oh, my God. Well, there it is. So, young comics, do you, man. Do you, young comics.
Yes, absolutely. Because it's a passion. Anything that you... God has placed in you, whether it's jokes, whether it's, you know, art, writing, cooking, whatever, you know, it takes practice, and you want to be better. You want to be great at what you do. You know, I don't just try to throw any old piece of art together. I want when people look at it to be like, wow, that's what I'm trying to get at, you know, and you, of course you want to get paid. You want to get paid for what you do. I mean, that's right there a given. If you go to a lawyer's office, you're not going to walk up in there and expect that the man don't or woman don't want to get paid, will you?
Nah.
I mean, you know, so it's no different for artists and people who have giftings or talents in their artistry, you know. But at the same time, I just wanted to ask you, before I forget, what fraternity are you with? Are you a Q Dog?
I am a Q Dog. I am Omega Psi.
Yes.
Roots in the Q. Let's say something. I pledged at Benedict College in Columbia, South Carolina. That's an HBCU, by the way.
Yes.
All my people out there, HBCU, go to Benedict College. It's a great school. Our football team is doing good. I think we 7-0, 6-0 right now. We doing good. But, yes, Epsilon chapter of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. Absolutely.
Yes, Lord. Let me tell you, I got introduced to them Q Dogs when I was a freshman in college. Oh, my goodness. Out at Wilberforce University, I was dating one of the finest Q Dogs, too. So that boy was about 6'5". You know what I'm saying? Buff.
Dancing
around them golden boots. Roof, roof, yes. I was sold ever since then. I didn't want to see nobody. I ain't trying to put nobody down. But I'd rather somebody have on some big old gold boots that's rough and rubber than to be sitting there with a cane and trying to be cute. No, thank you. No, thank you. You don't need to be switching harder than me. I don't think so.
Right, exactly. That is funny. You know, all love to my brothers and Kappa Alpha Psi. I mean, I ain't mad at it, man. But you know, they ain't, I ain't mad at Alpha Phi Alpha, Phi Beta Sigma. You know, we got some good brothers out there, man, a part of some of these organizations. You know, and I ain't mad at nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, you're serious, man. You're right.
they not the bros, man. But they're not the cute.
Right.
They're not us.
and I see that you actually, one of your fellow Q Dogs, which I know, Ricky Smiley, because he talks about it all the time, you did something, you opened up for him as well.
Yeah. So I'll be with him in Atlanta this weekend, the 15th of October. And I'll be with him at Cobb. I want to say it's the name of the venue, but yeah, that's
okay.
My dog, man. Yeah, that's my dog. Yeah, we'll be at the Cobb Energy Center.
Right. Right.
Yep. This Saturday, the Cobb Energy Center in Atlanta. So I'll be there with Ricky. Yep. And,
okay.
You know, and that's my dog, of course, my frat brother, really good brother, man. That's probably one of the best brothers in the business. He's been doing this comedy thing a long time as well.
Right.
You know, and just to be mm-hmm. able to work with him is a blessing. So,
yeah.
You know, and I've worked with a lot of these guys, man. You know, I've worked with Kevin Hart. You know, I've worked with Cedric the Entertainer. Cat Williams. You know, these guys are some good brothers, man. You know, a lot of these guys
yeah.
are good brothers. And just to be able to still be able to be in the business right now is something I never thought would happen. Like, I didn't think I would be 50 years old still doing comedy. So for me,
right.
You know, I'm happy. Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to wish you a happy birthday in case I don't, you know, talk to you by the time your birthday comes around, because I was giving all the birthday shout-outs today. Just wish you a happy birthday. I didn't know that I was older than you. You know, that's yeah, I'm older than you.
You're older than me.
Yeah, but
how
you know,
you,
it's all good. Huh?
How old are you?
I ain't that much older than you. I'm 51. I'm about to be 52 soon. Come March.
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. you big sis. You know, but hey. Once you get past a certain age, it's like whatever. I think once you get past 40, it's like, all right, 40, 42, 43, 45. What difference does it make?
Exactly. I mean, I'm just glad I ain't got no crow's feet. And I still, you know, have maintained my youth. You know, thank you, Mom.
You're right.
You know,
for real. Absolutely. You tell it. Hey, look, people look at me like, how we built? You got hair. You know I got hair now, Street.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't recognize you. Because that's why I said, Howie who? And she was like, Bell. I was like, are you serious right now? I had to take a really good look. Because I was like, something has changed. Then I said, that's what it is, the hair.
The hair. Everybody thought I had the Steve Harvey implant.
Okay, because it's full. That is definitely your hair. That
everybody's like, how you go
right
from bald head? Yeah, how you go from bald head to hair? You got the Steve Harvey implant. I know you did.
Okay.
I'm like, no, this is my hair. This is my hair, right?
Yeah.
I don't have no bald spots, nothing.
Good. Yeah, and that makes you look much, much younger. Because I swear I didn't know you. But on a more serious note, don't think that we're rushing because we got time. I end the show when I feel like it. We got a few more minutes, and you know I want to get into the nitty gritty because I haven't asked you the question. How would you answer this with every being of your soul? Blank.
With every being of my soul. How would I answer that?
Yeah, how would you answer that?
That's so deep. That's so, you know what I'm saying? That's so, you know what I mean? That's so,
when you think about
it,
yep.
Yeah, with every being of my soul. Wow. With every being of my soul, I would say that I have tried to be the best man, father, comedian, actor, person, human being, just friend. I've tried to be all of that, the best that I can be, and fraternity brother, all that, with
absolutely
all of my soul. Like, I've tried to be that. And, you know, I'm one of the good brothers. And I've always tried to exemplify that and lead by example, because nobody, you know, nobody's perfect, though. You know what I'm saying? But
Absolutely not.
And at the same time, you know, you still got to try to be as close to perfect as you can. And
right.
I think
okay.
that people get away from that. You know what I'm saying? Be the best you can be. Be the best version of you that you can be.
Yes, that's and what I'm trying to work on. Being the best version. Yep.
Of yourself. Yeah,
yes.
Of yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah.
Before I get too old and can't walk at all. Okay? Cane or no cane, you know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm. But there's a couple more questions. I don't want to cut you off because I just want to run through these and get your, you know, your thoughts. Do so much. You know, you write, you're dancing, you've been singing, you've done a lot, and surely it seems that the comedy is your very strong point, and that's who you are, along with other things. So what would you say you would do different, you know, on being who you are, on being the best version of you? Do you think that you would incorporate everything and give, because it's hard to give them all the attention when you have a lot of gifts and talents. It really is hard. So how would you do that? How would you work that in? Because you've done the writing, you know, writing the sketches. And I know you were saying something about, in here that you got, chosen, one of your sketches got chosen. So how would you do that? You know, if you had to do it all over again, would you keep the same path and focus on the comedy, or what would you do different?
You know what? That's an excellent question. I don't know, sis. Just don't know. I don't know.
That's all right. Sometimes we don't know. We really don't.
I went to college for media arts. Like, I always thought I was going to be a journalist. So,
okay.
You know, yeah. And even though I was acting and I was in plays and all that, so I was acting and I was always expressive, but I wanted to be a journalist. And maybe that would have been the path. But I just kind of, you know, went to comedy. And then that's just kind of what your life is sometimes. You know, it is what it is. You know, some people go into things that they never thought they would be a part of. You know, different
absolutely.
Businesses. Genres.
Yes.
Different, yeah, absolutely. So, you know. And so, I don't know.
Right. Right. And
know.
That's the honest answer. That's, you know, that's the honest answer. We don't know, you know, and, you know, God gives us a path, and sometimes we don't know what that path is, and sometimes it takes a lifetime to figure it out, you know.
I used to draw a lot, so, you know, I was, you know, as a young man, I used to draw a lot of cartoon type stuff. I used to draw a lot of superheroes and other things too. But the classes, you know, are drawing. Hey, look, I play chess, and I learned how to play
chess.
Yeah, and so listen. So who knows what my life would have been?
Right.
Who knows?
And
you know what? And you know what's even deeper? Who cares? I mean, like, I'm 50 years old. Well, I'll be 50 in a few weeks. And, like, I'm kind of there. Like, okay, this is what it is.
It is.
This is my life.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's never too late, I don't think. for what it is that we're supposed to do. Because obviously, if we're still living, we still have time to do what
That's
we
right.
didn't do.
That's
and,
right.
you know, it might be a little harder because, like they say, you know, the older you are, you start to get set in your ways. But, you know, I love learning. Did I love learning when I was little? I love being in school because that was my place that I could tell my jokes. I could
right.
be with my friends.
Right.
You know, it wasn't the fact of learning per se. It was just that I was good at learning. You know, writing, I'm an author. Do I like writing? No, I don't. Did I
right.
think I would be doing some of the stuff I'm doing, like including this? I didn't go to school for journalism. I went for architecture and mathematics. So
See?
This is like, okay, like I wasted all of that daggone money. So, you know, it's like to me, God got jokes. Like we'll say, this is what I'm going to do. And then he'll say, no, that's not what you're going to do. But I will
exactly.
use
exactly.
some of them
exactly.
traits.
And
that, yeah.
Exactly. And that's what I was saying. It's not wasted time or wasted money or none of that. Because
mm-hmm.
you still had fulfillment. You know what I mean? And you still got juice in your brain. You still learned something. You still learn structure, you learn how to be disciplined, you learn how to do things
yes,
on time.
That's true.
See, all that stuff is, yeah, that matters. And that's a problem with some of the young cats out here. They don't have the structure.
Right.
It ain't about being, you know, I get it with the entrepreneurship and owning your own business.
Yeah.
Trust me, I am a stickler about that. Yes. Do that.
Yeah.
But I think everybody needs some kind of discipline and some kind of somebody
yes,
to show
do.
You how to do things in a timely manner. And the only way
right.
you're going to learn that is the only way you're going to learn that is through education. That's the only way.
That's true. That's true. That's true. And you know also, too, how I learned timing is when I had to go out on all of those auditions, you know, throughout the past 20-something years that I did it, you know, for spoken word, for this or that, acting, whatever, and they would tell me a minute and a half. And I'm like saying to myself, how am I supposed to get all of this in a minute and a half? But it, you know what I mean? I mean, as soon as I opened up my mouth, they was like, thank you, Miss Humphrey.
Right, right.
And I'm like, oh my God, like I waited eight hours in line at the Apollo in the freezing cold for you to say, okay, thank you, but I got in. But it was just a point. I'm like, I was so heated.
Let me tell you something, a quick story to that point, man. I used to,
go ahead.
When I lived in, it was, there's a spot called The Laugh Factory. It's coincidental. That's where my 50th birthday party will be. So,
okay.
But I remember being a young comedian waiting in line at The Laugh Factory on Tuesdays where you had to sign this list, right, to go
mm-hmm.
up at 8 o'clock at night, and comedians will be there at 7 in the morning. So you had to wait in line all day long. And
yes.
you couldn't leave. And it was
mm-hmm.
like, you had to sign that list and be in the, and you only had 3 minutes. And you
mm-hmm.
you didn't make it up. Comedians that were in line didn't make it up that night. So you had to come back the next day and try to re-sign the list. I mean, well, the next week and re-sign the list. So
yes.
what I'm telling you is, from that part of comedy, where it was no social media, it was no none of that. It was all
nope.
about, hey, how funny are you? How cool are you? What kind of person are you? And that's
yeah.
all it was.
Yeah, yeah, that is the truth.
How we
that is the truth. And how bad do you want it? Because, you know, if we had something different back then. You know, it was we had patience. Even if we didn't feel like we had patience, and we had a passion, yep. And we had a goal in mind. And
yes,
so that's what made us stay to whatever craft we were trying to do. And that's something that, you know, with today's generation, they have to actually learn this. There's got to be something done so they can learn this, because they're not going to get it on the phone or the iPad. You know, they're not going to get that type of thing. You know, that is something that uploading a video of you talking or doing your craft is not giving, instilling that type of character in you.
And you really just commentating on other videos. Like, there is no creativity right now.
Right.
Creativity level is so low right now that it's sad.
And that's really is a shame.
Yeah, what are you doing? Where's the creativity? Create your own thing. Do your own thing.
Right.
You like to comment videos and to be, you know, get likes and stuff. Do your own thing.
Exactly.
I'm, you know, Sheree, come on now. We from a different, you know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then, you know, the thing is that if we, the older generation and the younger, collaborate. Because there's something that they can learn from doing, trying to do their craft from us. And there's something we can learn from them. Because I'm not about to be sitting on my phone all day and night trying to learn a TikTok or trying to learn a song. I'm like, whatever. That's just too much. I'm like, you got Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I mean, it don't make no sense. I'm like, I'm overwhelmed with it. My niece is like a 10 years old trying to show me how to do a TikTok. And I'm like, you know what? Just forget it for now. You know, because I just don't have the energy to deal with that. You know?
it's a different muscle, you know, and I deal with it. You know, we got to deal with certain things because we are artists and stuff like that. So, you know, but
right.
I promise you, if I wasn't a comedian, I wouldn't be on any social media at all. But I do it because, you know what I'm saying, I'm a working artist. So I want to be, you know, relevant. I want to be recognized and all that stuff. So, you know, but I promise you, you ain't
relevant.
It ain't worth it. A lot of times it ain't worth it. The juice ain't worth the squeeze.
Exactly. For real. So where do you see, before we get off, what do you have planned coming up? You know, you have the show in Atlanta. You know, how can people connect with you?
So
I know that was two questions.
I'm in Atlanta this weekend at the Cobb Theater with Ricky Smiley, my dog, Ruru, to the Q's, the 15th of October. And then I am in L.A., the 22nd of October, I got a big show with the Biker Club, man. We doing it big, you know what I'm saying? And in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And then my birthday show is on October 30th in L.A. at the Laugh Factory, where we talked about. And we're going to do two shows, 7 o'clock and then 9:30. And then I'm going to do Halloween.
Okay.
At the Improv. At the Improv with D-Ray Davis, man, right there in Hollywood at the Improv on Melrose. So,
tell D-Ray I said hi. You don't know me, but tell him I said hi.
I will.
Yes.
I will.
Thank you so much, Howie. I appreciate you taking the time out to come on my show again and chat with me, and I wish you the best in everything that you're going to do. Have a wonderful and safe birthday celebration.
Sheree Humphrey, I appreciate you. I wish you the most, the blessings of them all. You are so special in my life as well, and doing big things.
Thank you.
Keep them comedians coming. And hey, look, ladies, hey, let's talk about it. Come on, we gonna drink a shot when I see you. All right.
Okay. Well, I hope you come back up here again to the Metric. When you do, you got my number. Call me.
I got your number. I'm calling you. Love you, sis. Love you to death.
Love you, too. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, in a minute.
There you have it. That was Howie Bell, returning guest for the second time. He's going to be in Atlanta coming up. So listen to the show. Go back, rewind, listen to the whole thing in its entirety, because it is definitely a wonderful episode having Marlon Randolph and Howie Bell on tonight. Very, very special show. In any case, I just want to remind people to please, if you find it in your heart, you would like to donate monetarily, my Cash App is up there. That is the best way. I do have PayPal up there. Also, if you'd like to buy some art for your house or give it as a gift or buy some books for the children, these books are directed towards brown and black children, primarily in the inner city, and children who are dealing with all type of issues, and how to get through them and get and to understand what is happening to them. So it's for different age groups. I have a master's in education. I've been working with kids, had worked with kids for over 35 years, almost all of my life. I decided to direct things to stuff that they deal with that they don't even understand what it is, at different levels, you know, first grade, second grade, third grade, whatever it may be. So take a look at the descriptions up there. You can definitely inbox me, text me. My phone number is up there listed. 203-952-9807 if you'd like to take an interest. If I don't know you, I do screen my calls because I just get too many people I have no idea who they are. If you're serious and you are inquiring about a book, about art, please reach out to me. You could text me first, and then I can call you back. All right. Thank you so much. Have a blessed night. Thank you for tuning in to Talk to Me Radio. I will go to a song and I will come back and play all of the, you know, list all of the people who have been on this show that I have remembered. So I'm going to play a little bit of Superstar by Luther Vandross and come back.
I wanna tell you, baby, the changes I've been going through. Missing you, oh, till you come back to me. I don't know what I'm gonna do. and oh, so far away. I fell in love with you. Before the second show, and your guitar, and you sound so sweet and clear, but you're not really here. It's just the rain.
You have tuned in to Talk to Me Radio. This is Sheree Humphrey of Diamonds in the Rough, finding the spirit in me. And I am going to read off the names of people who have graced the show for those who are still listening and who have never heard the show before. Okay, let me just take it off speaker. Okay. Melba Moore, C.C. Pennison, J.J. Harrison, Christopher Williams, Bernard Jackson of Surface, Doobie Powell, Curtis Blow, Stacey Ladislaw Jackson, Glenn Jones, D. Lucas, Yo-Yo, the rapper, Donnell Jones, Special Ed. I did an interview with them at the Summer Groove afterwards. In any case, the Green Violinist, Tony Redd, Darren Cookie Moore, Calvin Richardson, Wendell B., J.D. Lawrence, Marcel Lashley Davies, Richmond Punch, Carmichael the Music Lover, Ice Zellner, Cool Mike Ski, Wasan Jackson, Craig Kelly, A Plus Hollywood, Tony Bird, King the Barber, Jonathan Du Bois Jr. and Sr., Ane Du Bois, Kim Mathis, Jeanette Elder, Jeanette Green Washington, Pastor Joseph Green, Avis Daniels, my mom, Andrea Daniels, my sister, Charles. I don't know why I can't remember Charles' last name, but my mother's ex-boyfriend, Sebastian Tribby, LaVon Briggs, Jonathan Gates, Mika Jean, Hope Flood, Howie Bell, who you just heard, and also I can add to that list, Marlon Randolph, J.B. Justice, Drew Frazier, Capone, J. Alexander, Gerald Kelly, FSW, Pastor Brown, Janice Dempsey, A. Curtis Farrell, Riff, Easy Taylor, Keisha Rainey, Judah Seeley, I believe I said Darren Cookie Moore already, Rashawn Langley, Kiki West, Tiffany Giselle, Omar Wilson, Phoenix Fire, Jay the Comedian, Misconduct, Ricky Allen Drawn, J. Trini Goring, Coffee Goring, Deborah Williams of Hurricane 2, Don Nottingham of the Stylistics, Midnight, Marcia Sapp, Carissa Dow, the violinist, John Hinton, Bernadette Barnes of New York, Prophet Ramai Jivalani, Ashley Mondestin, Pierre Guten, Pastor Arlene Henry, Maris Goldstone, whose birthday it is today. Happy birthday. She's my, you know, like an auntie to me. Prophetess Brenda Culpepper, Damon Cook, Tia Swintz, Tanya Ford, Trina Seymour Bowers, Sonia Hudson Payne, Lauren G., Sheila McCoy, author M.L. Brooks, Odelia, Pastor Felicia Cunningham, Lou Humphrey of BSE Recordings, Kent Barrett of WNHU, Jerry Green of WIBC, Rasheen Dixon of WIBC, Steve Wallace, Sierra Clark, Val Hassan Jones, Songbird, Dave Farrell, Travis Sims, Jason V. Watts, Dwight Lamar, Herb Boyd Jr., Tyrone Dunmore, a.k.a. Terrible T, Candace Rena, Bobby Ramos, John Lawson, Matthew Kirkwood, a former assistant producer of the McDonald's Gospel Fest, Big T, Lachey Nicole, Tamar, Jerome Pierre, Greg Hill of the Delphonics, Robbie Jenkins, my former manager, Marilyn Moore, Najia McKenzie, Najia Treat, Gloria Cummings, Darlene McGee, Pastor Gene Smith, Dr. Green, Rodney Bethia, Lynn Mosher, Darlene Addison, Chandra Shabazz, Carolyn Smith, Kayla, don't remember her last name either, Mr. Council, Nini Ali of New York, Frank E. Brady, Elder Savon DeGaskew, Pamela Wright, Spencer Camp, Kaylin Jackman of New York, Amari Daniel Bay, Jennifer Armistead, Robert Williams of Blue Magic, Jazzy Matt, Dr. Jamal Bryant, Jamaica Morrison, Bishop Ernest Richards now, Michael Jones, Denzel Williams, Gina Blaze, happy birthday. I believe it's her birthday today as well. Connie Johnson, Lamar Taylor, James Fountain, Lisa Mellers, Jeanette Zaks, David Davis, Anthony E. Brown Jr., Ernell Grant, Brian DeCauzy, Doremius Williams, Matt Jones, Sheena Bailey of New York, John Lawson, Karina Fort, Tishy Anderson, Renee Love, Treasure Marie, Steve Wallace, Ebony with an X, Cece Lee, Renee Love, Kaylee Roselle, Top Notch Band. This was the interview after the Summer Groove, and there is my new website for pre-recordings, which is listed on the show page, shows.acast.com/talktometo. So that's listed. You can go there and you can hear some of these recordings of the interviews, and you can read the article on it as well. Just go to my website, WTRFindInTheSpiritInMe.org/T2MM for Talk to Me Media. Norman Tappan, Monique Smith, other people that I have interviewed is Vicki Winans, Pastor Shirley Caesar, Donnie McClurkin, Mighty Clouds of Joy, Jennifer Holliday, Damian Marley, Little John, Sierra, Little Bo, Elephant Man, Terry Cruz, Mary, Bobby Valentino, Deidre Cadden, Nigel, Dr. Jell Dunkley, Velasquez Singer, Walter Armistead, Ashley Welfare, Walter Taylor, Janice Murray, Lawrence Green, Sammy Maximum, John the Apprentice, Janet Dawson of ATL. So thank you so much for tuning in. Also, Cool Bubba Ice and Humphrey Bogart as well. Thank you so much and have a good night. I'm going to play a little bit of Better Than Good to take you out, to take us out of the show. Better Than Good to Me by Lanaza Sellers Scott.
God, it's been so good. God has had my back in the midst of my unease, and I ain't even have to be there. I have grown many cities, friends not very many, for God took care of me and my children.
Yeah.